Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. Betty Rock, you are not the only one to erroneously judge Princess Kate. You're in good company because apparently actress Blake Lively might have done something too. She said, Blake said, I want to be among the first to publicly apologize. Right after Princess Kate of Wales came out with the announcement that she was diagnosed with cancer. Apparently, Lively shared kind of a post beforehand calling into question the picture of Kate with her kids that was photoshopped. Mm-hmm. Now, did the Buckingham Palace ever come out and say, yeah, you got us?
They did.
Okay, because they did not. Everybody just denied stuff at first.
No, they once it was released, Kate Middleton took full responsibility for it.
Okay.
Which is hard to believe that she would, that even Buckingham Palace. Well, that Buckingham Palace would let her do the photoshopping of a family photo and then release it onto their Instagram. Like,
right.
That just feels kind of odd. But anyways, they actually put a kill order on that photo. Mm-hmm. Like, that meaning don't ever use it.
Oh, really?
Because it was that bad.
Oh, wow. Because it was really good Photoshop work.
Like, no, it wasn't.
You don't think so?
No. After I read a whole article that had like 12 or 15 different things that were wrong with it.
It looked like it's close to one of those AI photos.
Really? I just saw it in passing. I just saw it in passing. It was like, oh, this
the hands look weird. Some patterns are mismatched.
Oh, really?
You'd have to look closely.
Okay.
Yeah, but things don't match.
Oh, because the one thing I saw was somebody broke down. They highlighted her face and then put her face split screen with the face that the photo was actually from. And they're like, the odds of her having the exact same shape, face,
that
everything.
That was one of many.
Right. So that was one thing, though. I was like, oh, that was actually good. So I didn't see the rest of it because I just looked at it so fast. Well, she says, this is what's funny. She goes, I'm sure no one cares today, but I feel like I need to acknowledge this. I made a silly post around Photoshop fails. And, you know, and in my frenzy to post that post, it has me mortified today. I love that she's like, I'm sure no one cares about this. Oh, yeah, people care.
You're
like, people will cancel you so fast. But she's like disarming the argument going into it, which
nobody
I thought was
cares,
great.
But
yeah.
But well, also people are calling out Kim Kardashian because she was... What? She was also on the bandwagon.
Oh, she was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but she hasn't apologized yet that I know of.
Oh, really? There were a lot of you. Like, you guys, like, were like... We're going after this lady.
Oh, my gosh. You so want to judge.
I will say this. Betty brought this up. She brought a good point up off the air, like in the office. She said that the rumors of him cheating and the rumors of her having a cancer diagnosis, they could both be true. Like, just because one... You know, the cancer diagnosis basically doesn't negate the other rumors, but it makes you a horrible person if you are going forward with those, you think.
Mm-hmm.
But theoretically, Betty was saying that they both could be still true, and she kind of leans towards believing the infidelity one still.
What? No, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
No,
when we were talking
in
the office.
No, I did not say that.
You sure?
Oh, my God.
It felt like you said that.
It felt like you knew.
It did. It felt like you said that to me. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Here's a weird thing. This is where I think we're getting it wrong on the right. Okay, so several drag queen story hours. Those I think are horrible ideas. This is where they have drag queens go to libraries and read books to kids. And the whole idea is to indoctrinate them and make them say, okay, that this is normal. This is acceptable behavior. This is good. I can do this and it's okay. I can be me, blah, blah, blah. I do think it's funny how you take a kid to church and it's indoctrination. You take a kid to drag queen story hour and it's education.
Mm.
Like, that's where we've got this whole thing twisted.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there's been a bunch of bomb threats to libraries for drag queen story hour.
Whoa.
So people going, well, I don't want to see this happen. So they're phoning in bomb threats.
But then
so then they cancel
back
it.
To them.
I mean, if you do it right, I don't know. You got to route your phone through three different countries. No.
Okay.
I don't support that. Like, I get what you're trying to get to, and you're like, hey, we got to put a stop to this because, like, the liberal agenda has gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. The liberal agenda has gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that either. You know, that's the thing. The best way, in my opinion, is to make this stuff go away is kill the demand for it. You know, if there's no demand, it's not going to continue to happen. So, like, if you don't go to it, don't take your kid to it, I don't even think you have to protest it. Just no one shows up. And then you got a drag queen there just standing there reading books, like, okay, to themselves. You know, now you'll definitely have the liberal people that are going to show up because they love it and they think it's great. We have a friend of ours that's so unbelievably liberal. She's like celebrating the fact that my 8-year-old is non-binary. You know, like, you're destroying your child. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing that they don't understand. Like, Betty had pulled a thing about millennials saying that they're like, think that their parenting style is so much better than their
parents
did. I think we're getting to that. yeah, so we'll get to that in a second, but this is kind of that whole thing. so anyway, I don't think that that is a good idea to call in bomb threats, but how do you stop it? And why do you stop at drag queen story hour? Why not stripper story hour, prostitute reading time? How about pedophile nap time? You know, like, we've gotten so insane with what we say is acceptable and what we try to put a acceptable label on that everything's acceptable now, you know? And that's not a good thing. That's not a healthy thing. If you talk to any psychologist, what do kids need? Kids need boundaries. Guess who else needs boundaries? Adults, you know? And when we try to take things that aren't normal and are a brokenness in somebody and we say, no, it's not broken, it's fine. And then we, not only that, not only do we accept it, we encourage children to do this. That's where it gets really messy to me. You want to be a broken adult, be a broken adult. Don't care. Like, have at it. Go crazy. You do you, boo. But when it starts being mandated, legislated, and pushed into kids' spaces, like, that's, kids don't need that. They got enough going on in their worlds, you know? And the fact, like, there's this one guy on TikTok that's always posting stuff. He's always eating and he posts these really right-wing things, but I find them funny. But he's like, a 20-year-old can't drink, but a 20-year-old can't drink, but an 8-year-old can choose their gender. And when you point it in that context, you're like, absolutely. Why can't a 20-year-old drink? Because they're not 21. And why is that? Because they said, well, you're not mentally formed enough to make good decisions while you're drinking. So you say an 8-year-old can then choose their gender? Like, they somehow have the forethought or the wherewithal to do that? Mm-hmm. Are you insane? Like, these adults, the liberal adults, and I'm on a soapbox today. I haven't gotten to do this for a couple weeks. I've been on vacation. But they drive me so crazy because no one checks them. Like, they just go, they just run rampant, and it's like, oh, well, you're a hate-filled person if you disagree with me. No, I have an opinion, and I'm allowed to have that opinion. It's contrary to yours, but that's okay. I can still have that. Doesn't mean I'm a hate-filled hate monger. Doesn't mean I'm wrong, you know? And it's like, we've gotten to where the side that screams loudest and then screams, you know, for infringement the most is the side that everyone starts to listen to. But it's like, no, that's actually not true at all. Like, we can all have a difference of opinion, and I don't have to buy into your narrative, you know. So anyway, felt a little good.
Feel better?
Yeah, I do feel a little better, actually. Good, that was fun. Let's get on with yours.
Wow, this one's just gonna usher you right back in.
Oh, I know. I'm right in. I'm ready to go.
So millennials are saying that they are better at parenting than their boomer parents.
You're not.
So a couple of ways that they think they're being better is, one, gentle parenting. Gentle parenting is a style that, quote, guides children through the decision-making process without the parents setting demands and rules.
And saying no. Like, I love when, like, psychologists are like, don't say no. Don't say the N-word. No to your children is bad. Like, are you insane? I've seen it in public, in the real world, a person with their kid melting down and the parent be like, make good choices. How are you feeling? And I'm just over there laughing. I'm like, you act the fool, man. My dad would have yanked me out of that store, you know?
Yeah, I've seen TikTok videos where it's like a mom who claims that she's a, you know, on social media, that she's a parenting guru or whatever. And she says, you see her daughter in the background and she's like turning the lamp light on and off, on and off. And she wants her to stop. So she said, what I do is I just ignore. We don't feed the bad behavior. Good we idea. Just ignore. But then you see the kid just. And then it flips to another mom and she like shows, she acts like she's about to backhand her kid with a flip flop.
Yeah.
Like, I said no.
Yeah. A shoe would have hit me in the head. Like, and I came out okay. I came out actually respecting people, you know. This is my favorite thing ever. This actually happened to me. This is not an internet story. This is not a rumor. This is not something that's on Snopes. I literally watched this happen. I was in line. It was here in Nashville. I had just moved here. And there is this lady, we're at the movie theater, we're in line to pay for tickets. And this lady's kid is going nuts, just being a tyrant. I wanted to smack this kid, being disrespectful and just being a little jerk. And so I'm like, man, I'm starting to get antsy because it's like frustrating me so much. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this other lady smacks this kid and goes, boy, don't you treat your mama like that. Like just wallops him. And then, and so I'm like, okay, it's the lady's, it's the kid's grandmother. It has to be. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm standing there, the mom looks at this other lady and goes, thank you so much. This he is just out of control, and I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end. Turns out they don't even know each other. Like, this other lady smacks this kid, tells him to straighten up and act right, and the mom thanks her. I'm like, what in the world? Yeah. This is the best state ever.
I would love to see you have the job I had previously at the daycare, because there you could not spank or you couldn't even put them in timeout. You couldn't say no to them. So you had to redirect. So instead of
a bad word, you know, like we tell women that all the time. No means no. Why don't we tell kids that? No means no. Stop.
But you would have to redirect. So the best example I have is I had a kid that was biting other kids in the class.
I would have bit him.
And so instead of doing that, what I had to say was, let's use our teeth for biting food. Our friends are for hugging. You cannot say, do not bite, or I'm going to smack you upside the head, or I'm going to put you in timeout. Could not do that.
Yeah.
You have to redirect.
My neighbor's
and if you
kid,
have any discipline issues,
yeah,
you need to take those up with the parents.
My parents neighbor's kid used to bite her all the time. She got so mad about it one day, she bit him back. He never bit her again. Like, and he turned out, he's a great kid. He's doing well, like successful. Yeah. And so you're like,
it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I do think that there is a balance between, because I don't think that all the old ways are good, you know? Like, I
well, can I get to some of
please,
those? Because, yeah, we're only at number one.
Oh, wow, that was fast.
Yeah. So, another one is being present with your kids.
Sure.
I think that this is something that I would agree with. Millennials do seem to have it better
yes,
than boomers.
I
boomers
agree.
Seem to be able to put their job ahead of their children. Maybe it was a time where it was, you felt like, well, for instance, nowadays women have to work,
right?
And so back then, maybe the dad wasn't always home because he was the one that was the only one that was out, the breadwinner.
Right.
And so maybe that's where things have changed.
I do think that showing up for your kid and being present for your kid pays off dividends years down the road. The more, if they're into things and you can be into those things with them and you just support them, I mean, maybe they're not going to be the next Michael Jordan, but you're at all their basketball games, you know?
Right.
Like my dad, I learned the value of hard work from my dad, and my dad worked hard, and I know that there were times that work came before the family because it had to, or else we would be out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also knew that anytime, if he wasn't at something, it was because he had to not be there for the betterment of the family.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because he chose not to be there,
right,
you know? And when he was there and he was able to, he was always there,
mm-hmm,
you know? And so I do think you're right that, because I had a friend that his dad was never there for anything. His dad always worked,
mm-hmm,
and it messed with him, you know? And he resented him for it, you
mm-hmm
know? And so I do think that there is a balance between, sometimes work does have to come first, but if your kids know that you show up when you can and you're
right
there and you're present, that's okay. Yeah, like balance, because everything is about balance.
Another one that I think I would disagree with is millennials think they have where they get advice. They have that down better than boomers. So they have the internet. They have social media to go to
sure
get advice. And I think you need to use that in bits and pieces.
Sure,
because
yeah,
if you open it up too much, then it just becomes everyone's putting
it's
out
a YouTube
their opinion.
Expert, yeah.
And yeah, and you can't win for losing. Some
yeah
people say you're parenting too much, some will say you're not parenting enough. So I would
disagree.
You can
be
with
more
that
confused, I think,
exactly,
honestly. You have
yeah
like when you have too many choices sometimes, that's the hardest way to make a decision.
Right.
And
yeah
so, yeah, if you have too many voices, it could mess with you.
And then finally, this one, being open about mental health.
Sure. Yeah, they're better at that.
Oh, you would agree with that?
I would agree that they're better at that. I don't think it's needed.
I was going to say, like, there's a difference between are they better at it or
yeah
do you think they just do it more?
I think they do it more. Yeah, I think they do it more. I think that they're better at it because they themselves, like, need it or benefit from it. And so then getting their kids to be more open about it is a healthy thing. But again, I always come back to balance. Like when you keep telling somebody you're broken, guess what? You're going to have a broken byproduct of that, you know, versus telling somebody.
I don't think it's, you're not telling people they're broken. I think the world's telling you need to be broken.
Right. Well, I'm saying
you need to have that victim mentality.
Right.
Like everybody needs to play that victim card and say, oh, poor me, woe is me. Kind of like the girl you were, like, don't be right with me because you're the problem. You watch those TikTok videos of that one girl that's like, I choose whatever the song was that she was singing and
Jax.
Victim card.
Yeah, Jax.
And she was, it's just all about her
but
pain.
But you know who did that to her?
Her sadness.
Her therapist did that to her. No.
No.
It was. That was a therapy exercise. You didn't hear that part?
To write a song about.
Yes. That was her therapist. She went through, she's a funny songwriter. She did that, I Know Victoria's Secret. Like, and she writes really funny songs. But she goes to therapy and the therapist is like, you deflect from reality because you use humor to protect yourself. So I want you to write something that's like honest and raw and grit. So she writes this depressing song, I Choose Violence, you know, and it's so not what she is, but it put her into this space. Now, was it healthy for her? I don't know. Maybe it was cathartic. She got it off her chest, but she would have never done that had somebody not told her, this is what you need to do.
But don't you think, like I've listened to some podcasts where there will be people that will say, you know, I had a great upbringing, and they almost feel like they need to apologize for the fact that they had a good home,
right?
A roof over their heads. They had clothes on their backs. They had food to
and
eat
that's
and
sad.
Great parents. But I have heard those podcasts where it's like, you know, I don't really have anything to complain about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had a good upbringing.
Right.
But I think that that's where some people feel like, well, I want to fit in. Mm. I want to have something wrong with me. So I'll create something wrong with me.
Sure.
So in those ways, I do agree with you where it's like the world is telling you, you need to be broken to fit in because we're all broken and it's not cool if you're not broken.
Things get passed down generationally. Like for me, like my work ethic got passed down generationally from my dad and from his dad. And that's a good thing. Now, out of balance, it's not a good thing. Like I've had many years in my life where I was a workaholic and it wasn't healthy.
Hmm.
And I think that there's the same danger of, say, you have the millennial parent that's really in touch with the mental side of things and they went mm-hmm. through all their stuff and I see a counselor and I do this and it helps me work through this and it's almost like they need it to function, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so what do? They pass that down to their kids, you know, and your kids like, so we're in balance. It's a good thing. Hey, we want you to be able to talk about your feelings and come to us or talk to somebody. Like that's a good thing. But if it's not in balance, then you've just passed on your dysfunction to your kid,
you know? I agree.
And they always say too, like they say babies actually pick up on the stresses of their parents, you know, from the time they're born. And I was like, really? And then I went through a really stressful time when Haley was newborn and she was acting up. And it wasn't until like our lives situated and got a little better that she got a little better, you know? And so I do think that our kids, whether subconsciously or consciously, pick up from us.
Gavin, are you getting this? Because if you have your acid reflux and it's stressing you out, your kid is going to go.
My dogs already do it. So
his whole house is just throwing up all over the place.
Everybody's like just walking on eggshells. Like there's nothing to be stressed about. I don't know.
Oh, man. No, I know that on here, like, again, I keep coming back to, like, we've had so many conversations about therapy, and I don't have a problem with it for other people. Like, I don't. Like, if somebody needs to talk to somebody, great. Like, Betty, you were just talking about you hadn't seen your therapist in a while, and you went and she gave you with a specific thing you're dealing with, and she gave you some pointers, and it helped you.
She was so helpful because it helped to talk it through.
Absolutely.
Like, what you do here is exactly what I do with someone
this
else.
This is my therapy. The studio is always, I can tell you this, the microphone has always been my catharsis, and it's always been my therapy and my antidote to what I'm dealing with.
So
for sure. You
are getting it. You're just not getting it the right way.
Well, I wouldn't say
you're using the word, by someone using, that's not schooled in it.
Using the word therapy in almost a trendy way that like this is my therapy. Like I could go and say that like golf is my therapy because I go out there and it's a peaceful thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I stink at it and it's not therapeutic.
Right.
But like,
but does it help you balance and does it make you feel better? If it does, then it's therapeutic, you know.
And to me, I don't know why, but therapy and counseling to me mean two different things.
Okay, explain that to me then, okay? Because the words have become...
I would say I went to go see my counselor.
Right. And I think that is the...
Instead of my therapist.
Even you, inside of this world, you're like, I don't want to be seen as I went to a therapist because that's for broken people. You know, I think it's the context, the subcontext. Mm-hmm. Counselors, I got a friend that just helped me work through stuff.
Yeah.
Therapist is, oh my gosh, that person's a mess. Mm-hmm. And so... I think that even inside of the world that you live in and accept is there are degrees of this as well.
And there may be an actual Webster's Dictionary difference between the two.
I don't
know.
Like a psychiatrist can prescribe medicine.
And that's a completely
different
thing.
A psychologist cannot.
Right.
And a therapist, I don't know where they land.
Yeah.
You know?
So a counselor is... Like, for instance, I realized there was something that was bringing up some stress for me and some weight, some anxiety, and I wanted to get to the root as to why it was bothering me, because I don't like when things bother me and I don't know why, because then I can't do anything about it.
Sure.
It's just going to bother me.
Right.
And that frustrates me. Then it has control over me. So what I do is I go and see my counselor. I tell her what it is that's bothering me, and I don't feel judgment. I don't feel shame for making the conversation all about me.
Sure.
Because that's what she is paid to do.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so she helps me get curious. She's like, okay, I heard you say the word blah, 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 blah. Why do you think you said that?
Right.
And then that helps me think about it, and I'm like, well, it might be because it makes me feel this way. And then ultimately, and that's exactly what happened. When I was able to go and see her, I was able to get to the root cause as to why I feel the pressure that I do, why it's causing me stress. And then I can go home, I can pray about it, I can journal about it, and I can really dissect it on my own time and really get behind it so that it doesn't have control over me.
Sure.
Because that's not how we're meant to live life in the first place.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it.
I will say that. Like, you know, Google search on Psychology Today says that counseling tends to be shorter term, goal oriented, and addresses concrete, specific life challenges. Mm. By contrast, therapy tends to be longer term, more exploratory and holistic, and treats mental illness.
Okay, so then I would say mine was a counseling situation.
Right.
Where, so it sounds like therapy is more of like, I'll see you this time next week or this time in 2 weeks.
Counseling can be good for.
Or counseling is just a. Call
like you said,
can.
A sounding board, potential, someone who can help you through maybe that one random thing you're struggling with.
But that definition actually did draw a very distinct line where it mentioned mental illness.
Yeah, it's not, if you follow this definition, you don't see a counselor because you have a mental illness. You see a counselor kind of like in the way that you did, where you
just
went
to get life.
To get a little bit of somebody's... Again, and a trained
perspective. Yeah, an outside perspective.
Whereas therapy is some place that you would go when
you're going through a really bad depression or anxiety, and you just need
clinical,
to talk about, or like a death in the family or something like that. Like that's something that's going to stay with you when you're grieving, and so that would be someone you would probably need to see a therapist for. But in my situation, a counselor and a therapist, she's the one in the same, so she can see me for either one, whatever my needs are.
Mm-hmm.
But and in the past, she has seen me for therapy.
Sure,
but. Currently, for the past couple of years, thank you, Jesus, it's just been counseling.
Tune-ups.
Yeah.
Check-ins.
Just when I see something that's bothering me, I can just go to her and
resources. It was good that you were proactive on something, and because it was bothering you, you're like, oh, it's like going to the doctor, you know, for a sore shoulder.
Right.
But see, that's the thing. Like, if you expect me to get my head worked on, I'm not even getting my shoulders worked
on.
There
could be a cancerous growth. Another head growing out of his head.
Exactly.
And he'd still be, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't use my head for much. And, and so my arms, I use that for a lot of stuff, and I still won't get those fixed.
we got to go.
3 minutes, yeah.
We got 4 minutes.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for your Aftercast for today. Thanks for being a potty.
Is there
anyone have a birthday? If, like, just a quick...
Oh, no, no one had a birthday. Okay. No, I wouldn't have done that had there been a birthday. No, I appreciate that. Yeah. We do have questions, but we can get to those later.
Another tomorrow. Day.
All right, that's going to do
it. Bye. Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children. But with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.